I'd like to thank the Lord for the privilege of being here.
Yes. Amen.
I want to thank Brother Sean Tabb for his kind invitation and the good hospitality and good facility. And I'm looking forward to this week, and I appreciate all that the Lord has done in my life and done in your life to bring us here together. One of the good things about being saved is you get to meet a whole bunch of good folks. And if it had not been for the good grace of God, I would have never bumped into any of you folks. Where I'd be tonight sure would not be here. And so I appreciate the Lord. I'm glad I'm saved. Well, me and Brother Hoy is glad we're saved. I sure hope y'all ain't got over being saved. It's a good thing to be saved. Hell is an awful place. Heaven is a wonderful place. I'm sure glad I'm saved. I'm glad I didn't save myself, because I would be in a fix. I can't do nothing. Hallelujah goes there somewhere. Bless the Lord. I left my glasses. And I can't use Braille, so I guess I'm going to have to preach by faith tonight. And I would love to mention a little bit about faith tonight.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 12. I appreciate Brother Sammy's message a while ago. How we do need to get back to the Lord on a regular basis. I'm glad that Jesus is the great shepherd. I went to Albania a couple of years ago, and I got to see some shepherds in action. And being from the Flatwoods of North Florida, I've never seen shepherds. We have cows and hogs, but we never have dealt with sheep. And I saw those shepherds in the mountains, and it was an amazing thing to me to see how they did what they were doing. And there was probably 200 sheep, and there was a bunch of goats mixed in with the sheep. And did you know, if you are a shepherd, you will have goats. Did you know the goats are in with the sheep because goats eat things that sheep won't eat? And the goats will eat something that will kill the sheep. So don't worry about your goats that's in your flock. They're there. They're there. It's providential that they're there. You better thank the Lord for the goats that are in your flock. But I noticed as that there was the chief shepherd was in front. And on either side, all the way down in that whole column of sheep, there were the under-shepherds. And that chief shepherd had his little staff, and he was just walking along. And behind him, the sheep followed him, and it was all going, baa, whatever what sheep do. And all the sheep can't see. And all they're trying to do is get the shepherd to say something back to them so that they'll know they're still in the right place. I'm fixed to take three laps around this building while y'all catch up. All we're doing tonight is hollering. All we know to do is to holler so he'll turn back around and say something. And remind us that he's still there. We're still in the right path. We're headed in the right direction. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, I just about am not worthy to even read that. Looking unto Jesus. So Somebody ought to shout tonight that we can look. We can still look and see Him there. As Brother Sammy said, He has not gone anywhere. We can still go back and look and see. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to notice tonight verse 2 where it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 follows Hebrews chapter 11.
Yeah, amen.
Isn't that an amazing revelation tonight? That's a tremendous thought. And in chapter 11, I think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and in chapter 11 he has been talking about faith. And these Hebrew believers had a rough time just trusting God. Somebody had told them about the Savior, and somebody had told them about all those blind eyes that got opened and all those crooked limbs that got straightened out and dead people were raised back to life and He fed 5,000 and all the miracles of Jesus. They were told about that, and they were told that He arose from the dead, and all those that were saved were talking about what a wonderful change in my life since Jesus came into my heart. And they were excited about the possibilities that they were going to have as Christians now, following the Lord and trusting Christ. And seemed like in their mind they were thinking, well, since He's God and since He has arisen from the dead, I'm not going to have any more problems now, because He's going to take care of me, because He can take about five loaves and two fish, and He can feed 5,000 men. So I think everything's going to be good at our house from now on.
Come on.
And it wasn't long after that until they realized that problems were coming in their life. And it wasn't easy breaking away from the law. It wasn't easy breaking away from the temple. It wasn't easy breaking away from family. It wasn't easy looking at your family and saying, I can't follow you anymore.
Amen.
It wasn't easy going back to the family reunion and being ostracized and cast to the side. It wasn't easy trying to answer all the questions about why don't you love me like you used to do.
And
it wasn't easy trying to live that Christian life. And they were so confused that many of them wanted to go back. And they were wavering back and forth. And they couldn't make up their mind if they really believed or if they didn't believe.
Yeah, yeah.
And so He's talking to them about the great need for faith.
Yeah.
And He's trying to reassure them, and He's trying to give them some examples about how it really is to know God and to follow God and to love God and to serve God and to be what God wants you to be.
Yeah,
and He's using their examples of faith. And He defines faith, and He says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The things that you're really looking for, you can't see today. But by faith, one day you will see them. Everything's not going to show up today that God has for you in your life. There's some things that are waiting on you down the road. There's some things that God's already done for you that hadn't got here yet. I was listening to Brother Mike Bagwell preach last week, and he said, as he always does, some tremendous things. And he was preaching in 2 Peter chapter 3, and he was talking about a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. In other words, time does not mean anything to God. And he was talking about the nearest star to our planet is 4 or 5 light years away. A light year is how far light travels in 1 year at 186,000 miles per second. That's a pretty good piece from here. And he said that if that star blew up, It would take 4 years for us to know it. What's present tense with us is past tense with God. And what's past tense with God is present tense with us. What I'm trying to tell you is we're already in heaven. We just ain't got there yet. What God's promised for you, He will do. He already has done it. You ain't got to wait on Him to do it. He's already done it. It just ain't got you yet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That prayer you prayed that you think didn't get no higher than the ceiling, the answer is already there. He's already heard it. He knew it before you ever prayed it. He wanted you to have it before you ever had enough sense to ask for it. And so we live by faith. It's the evidence of things that we can't even see. I looked up that word evidence. And in Webster's 1828 dictionary, Webster says that the English word for evidence comes from the Latin word video. Which means to see. Come on now, y'all know the difference between audio and video, don't you? Audio is what you hear, video is what you see. Faith is the video of whatever you're looking for. And when you're praying and you don't know if it's going to come or not, mash the button. Let God play the video. He's already done it before. He's already done it before. Somebody has gone in front of you, has gone through the same muddy water you've gone through, carried the same cross you're trying to carry, cried the same tear you're crying. He's already helped. He'll do it again. Just mash the rewind button. Look at it again. Look at it again. He ain't through yet. Hey, Mama, let me encourage you a little bit. You'll think you're the biggest failure in the world. Oh, no. Go back and look at them old gals in the Old Testament. Look at your Bible and see. They was all messed up. But God helped them anyway. Look at old Rahab the harlot. Wasn't she a messed up old girl? But didn't God do some wonderful things for Rahab the harlot? Did you know when Paul was writing chapter 11, when he got through with Rahab, he said, I ain't got time to talk about nobody else. He had to stop with her. I ain't got time to tell you about the rest of them. That old messed up girl got in that line that the Savior came through. She had a boy named Boaz that found a little little Moabite's girl named Ruth and married her, and that's David's bunch. God can help you. I don't care how bad you messed up. Look at it again. Rewind the thing. Look at it again. What He did for them, He can do for you. Hallelujah. There's ever been a time when we need to resign ourselves to walk by faith, it's today. What I see is folks feeling sorry for themselves because they are realizing now that the gravy train is over. We've been living high on the hog. It's about to crash. That old gal in Houston, everybody's all up in the air about her. One of the best things that ever happened to in this country. is for some old thing like that to weed out a bunch of weaklings and a bunch of hirelings and find out who's in this thing for the real deal. By faith, we're going to stand behind that pulpit, and by faith, we're going to read that Bible, and by faith, we're going to tell our congregation the truth, and by faith, we'll go to jail, and by faith, we'll die, and by faith, we'll meet God one day. We ain't going to stop. We ain't going to stop. We're not going to slow down. We're not going to change the message. We're going to keep on. Keep it on. By faith. Who told you all this is supposed to be easy? This is not supposed to be easy. We're supposed to have fiery trials. Did y'all know that this present situation that we're in tonight did not catch God by surprise? Did you know Ebola did not take God by surprise? ISIS did not take God by surprise. Just because ISIS showed up does not mean I cower in the corner somewhere. Fastest growing religion in this country tonight is Islam. That does not mean we stop. That does not mean we quit. That does not mean we bite our fingernails. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Ain't nothing changed about God. Ain't nothing changed about my call to preach. My message has not changed. Our methods do not change. But we do what we do by faith. Because God is able. And God is willing. And God is anxious to help us. Somebody ought to be happy about that. And we're whining because somebody may have to get out there and work. Somebody may not be able to go out three times a week to the restaurant. You may not be able to hire somebody to paint your toenails. Oh, Lord, you might have to fix your own hair. That's what's wrong with America. They just pouting because things may just fool around here and get real hard. Guess what? When things get real hard, he's going to get real sweet. When things get real, real dark, that means the day star has already arisen. Did y'all know everything that's happening is supposed to happen? We've been preaching this Bible all of my life that Jesus is coming soon. They've been telling me all my life there's got to be a one world government and a one world religion and a one world economy. It's in front of your eyes tonight. Somebody ought to be shouting about that. We're sitting at the finish line. We're watching this whole thing come together just like it's supposed to. Hallelujah goes right there somewhere or another. And he says, when you run out of looking at all them Old Testament saints, well, that don't work no more. When you looked at Abraham and you chewed all the sweet out of that juicy fruit, stick of gum, and you've got all you can get out of Abraham, and you've looked at Noah and there's nothing else in Noah's life you can look at. When you've seen Moses and Jacob and Isaac and all the rest of them, when you've got everything out of them you can possibly get.
Yeah, that's good.
And you still run a little low. Won't you just look to Jesus? be real good tonight just to look at Jesus for a little while. And consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured that cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Look at Him. Consider Him a little while. Look at how He approached bad times. Look what a time He came into the world. Look how dark the night was He was born. Look what a shape the world was in when He showed up. Listen, if you had to live under Herod in about 6 months, you'd go find Obama and kiss him right in the mouth and say, I wish you was running the show again.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
We don't know what a bad government is. You've never lived under the oppression that Jesus grew up under. You don't know what it's like to be made fun of every day of your life. You don't know what it's like to be called illegitimate every day of your life. You don't know what it's like to be God, very God, and be rejected in the world that you made. You don't know nothing about that. I said, just look at Him. I'm getting ahead of myself. I just want to mention, how much? When did I start? I can't see. Tell me when it's time. I can't. Tim, tell me when my time's up. I want you to look at three things about the Lord Jesus tonight that I hope will help us as we try to live in these crazy mixed up days. You ought to be rejoicing tonight that you're seeing things angels looked into and couldn't figure out. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to preach over here a while. Y'all are looking at things that the prophets wrote down and said, what in the world is that? You understand more about the book of Daniel than Daniel understood. You got more light on his book than he had on his book. I'm glad to be alive right now. I'm either going to jail or I'm going to heaven. Either one's going to be all right, because if I go to jail, he's going there with me. Let's look at two or three things real quick here. Number one, I want you to notice this passion for the will of God. Wow. His passion for the will of God. You ever stop to think that Jesus did everything He did because it was the will of God? That was His only consideration in anything, was it was the will of God. That virgin birth deal was the will of God. It was the will of the Father for the Son to step down from that golden throne in that ivory palace and walk down that winding stair and wind up entering into this world through the crimson doors of the virgin's womb and become helpless and become a man. That was the Father's will. He who is Lord of lords and King of kings. He who is the Alpha and the Omega. He is who is from everlasting to everlasting. Step down from that exalted place where seraphim and cherubim and angels do nothing but cry, holy, 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 worthy, worthy, worthy. He left that place where He had nothing but adoration. Had all the riches of eternity, and He left that to become the poorest of the poor because it pleased His Father. He grew up in a home where he was abused and never said a word because it pleased his Father for him to be there. I wish some of you fellas would quit trying to defend everything you do. Every time you preach a sermon, you want to go apologize. Did God tell you to do it or not? I had a message Sunday morning. I wrestled with that thing all week and tried to tell God, if I preach this, I got to see all the folks I was going to lose. And you know what he told me Sunday morning as I was getting ready for church? I was telling my Lord, you know, if I say all that stuff, then people are going to get mad and leave me. He said, well, you can lose them today or you can lose them at the judgment, but you're going to lose them either one place or the other. Which one do you want to lose them at? Quit apologizing for everything God gives you to preach. And by the way, if he ain't in it, why are you doing it anyway? If you're preaching the Word of God, why don't you get over it and just preach it? I'm not talking about mean. We don't need mean preaching. Jesus was not a mean preacher. He just told them the truth. With a heart of love. Why don't you just get full of the love of God and the Spirit of God and the power of God and the Word of God and stand up there and let God pour out what God put in and quit apologizing for everything in the world you do. If it's the will of God. And if you don't know it's the will of God, it might be good to sing that Sunday. And not preach anything if you don't know it's the will. But if it's the will of God, preach it with a broken heart. Y'all hear me? If anybody leaves here thinking I'm encouraging you to be one of them bulldog butcher preachers, you're not listening to me. You don't have to be ugly. You ain't got to be ugly. You ain't got to be crude and crass and offensive. That's as wicked as hell itself. As a man who claims to represent the loving Savior who gets up there and makes folk think that he's as big a jerk as they are. Jesus is meek and lowly. He's kind and long-suffering. And you can be too. And we all know that you've got folks in your congregation that you didn't want there. But they're there because it's the will of God for them to be there. Won't you look at them that way? You've tried to get rid of them, they just won't go. It's the will of God that they stay. Love them. Let them cut you. You ain't never going to be a Christian till you learn how to wash Judas's feet. Don't claim to be a Christian if you're too good to wash Judas's feet. We've got a lot of folks that are better than Jesus. Or they think. They think. They won't bow down and serve. He did. You present him. If the blood is running down where they stabbed you, love them anyway. Because it's the will of God. Take up that cross because it's the will of God. Suffer whatever you got to suffer because it's the will of God. Whatever he takes, it's the will of God. Whatever he gives, it's the will of God. Now that's real easy preaching. I was coming up the road today and I was listening to the news there in Jacksonville, Florida, and a 4-month-old baby died this morning in the hospital there in Jacksonville. Saturday it was involved in a hit and run accident. Somebody T-boned the car and injured the passengers and drove off and left. And a 4-month-old baby had his little baby fingers around his daddy's finger, and he died with his little fingers around his daddy's finger. It's kind of hard to look up to heaven about now and say, it's not my will, but thy will be done. Amen, y'all. Kind of hard to do that. And your time may come when you have to do that. And when it comes, you have to do the same thing Jesus did. And say, it's not my will, but it's your will. When it came time for him to take that cross and become my sin, he sweat till his sweat became great drops of blood and said, not my will. Y'all hearing that? Whatever it is, if he lets it come, it cannot come to you until it went through his desk and he stamped okay on it. Job lost everything because God said he could. Did y'all know that that confrontation between, that confrontation in the book of Job is not between Job and the devil. It's between God and the devil. And both of them had their eye on Job. And God said, I trust him. You can take everything he's got because I trust him. Hallelujah. I'm a thankful. Won't have revival. I'm a thinking if we'd get real passionate about the will of God. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Just get real tore up about the whatever the will of God is. And do it. With the same attitude Jesus had when he obeyed the Father. Quickly, number two. By the way, if anybody else wants to come and pray, you won't bother me. Number two is his patience while he was waiting. Have y'all ever read Psalm 40? Well, throw up your hand if you've ever read Psalm 40. I waited patiently. Did y'all know that psalm is not about David? That psalm is not about David. Okay. That psalm is not about David. That's a psalm about our Savior. Did you ever stop to think about how much waiting Jesus had to do? Back yonder in eternity past, he was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. But he had to wait until time was right for him to step into the human arena to become the Lamb of God. And when he was born as a helpless baby, and he had to wait in Joseph's carpenter shop for 30 years without ever saying a word about what he could do and what he came to do. But he had to learn patience. He had to learn obedience. He had to learn the lesson that you can't get in your head. He learned to obey whoever was over him. So that when you go to him, you can't ever tell him you don't know what it's like. He knows what it's like when you sit there and you can't say a word. You just do what you're told to do. All Joseph had was old crude carpenter's tools trying to build something. Can you imagine the architect of the ages looking at a fella with a hammer and a chisel? If he only knew what you could do with that piece of wood. And he never said a word. He never snatched the hammer out of his hands. I can do a better job. He looked at that little bench and said, wow, that's a good job there. I hope I can do something like that one day. He waited patiently for 30 years as a man. Man, very man. God, very God.
Amen.
Just waiting patiently.
Yes.
When he went to the cross, he had to wait patiently.
Yes.
I'm about to take 3 laps around the building again now.
Yes.
He waited patiently. Hanging on that tree. He could have called the angels to destroy the, but he waited patiently. He waited patiently. Carrying the weight of my sin. He could have thrown it down any time. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it, but he did. There was a joy on the other side of that cross that he was looking at. He wasn't looking at the cross. He was looking at tonight. He saw this place tonight. He saw you here tonight. He said, I can't bear to let him go. I can't bear to let him die. I can't bear to let him go to hell. I'll pay the price. Glory, I'll pay the price. I'll pay it all. He outbid death and hell and Satan and paid a price nobody else would pay. And he did it patiently. And did not grumble. Glory to God, he did not grumble when they piled my sin on him. He could have said, that's too much. But he waited patiently. Laid in that grave, that body did, for 3 days and 3 nights, patiently. If I'd been Jesus with the power that he had, I don't think I'd have laid there 3 days. I don't like graves that good. I said, well, I'm dead and they know what I think. I'm going out. I ain't laying here no more. Anybody here wake up? And it's not time to get up? Do you know what it's like laying there till it's time to get up? Because if you get up too early, you'll turn on the light and wake up your wife, and then you'll wish you hadn't woke up your wife. And you just got to lay there and be still. When the babies are young, you got to lay there and be still because you can't wake them up. If you drop a feather in the basement, they can hear it on the second story. And you got to lay there and just lay there and wait for morning to come. He laid there. That body laid there patiently. Waited patiently. But he said, but he inclined. He inclined his ear unto me. He picked me up out of the miry clay. That word miry implies a noisy place and a horrible pit, a noisy, loud place. He had to go down there and listen. In the heart of the earth, Abraham's bosom was over here and hell's over there, and he had to lay there and listen to that horrible pit. He said, but the Lord picked me up out of that horrible pit and placed my feet on that rock, established my goings, and has put a new song in my mouth. Even pray. Can you imagine Jesus learning a new song? That's a song he never could sing before then. He had to learn what it was like to be obedient unto death. And God highly exalted him. And now he is leading them in a song that they could not sing before.
Come on. Amen.
He is leading heaven in a song that they could not sing before.
Amen.
Last thing, real quick here now. Here's what I really want to talk to you about. Hope it'll be a blessing to you. He lived in the power of the Spirit of God. I don't have my glasses, so I can't read all this, but you all know this. In Matthew chapter 3, Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 3, We have the account of the baptism of Jesus. He was 30 years old. And John the Baptist is out there baptizing. And Jesus walks up to John the Baptist and he says, I want you to baptize me. And the Lord already came to John and said, now John, the Lamb of God is coming. I'm going to mark him out to you. All this bunch, you won't recognize him. It's been 30 years since y'all were together. You won't recognize him, but I'm going to point him out to you. Is anybody saved in the house tonight?
Yeah, come on.
I'm going to point him out to you.
Yeah. Come on.
He's going to come walking down the road.
Amen, preacher.
And I'm going to show you who he
yeah.
is.
Amen.
Glad day, glad day, glad day when the Holy Ghost pointed him out to me. There he is. There he is. That's him. That's him. You'll never find him until the Holy Ghost points him out. You'll never meet him until you're introduced to him. Well, Jesus told John, I've got to be baptized. And John said, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unloose your shoe latchet. Jesus said, go ahead and do it because we need to fulfill all righteousness. And there the Son of Man, who is 100% man and 100% God. Right now, we're not dealing with the 100% God.
Come on.
Yeah. But we're dealing with the 100% man.
Yeah.
The man, Christ Jesus,
yeah.
came to John and said, I've got to fulfill all righteousness. I've got to take the place of every man
yeah.
and every woman and every boy and every girl. And whatever it takes to make them right, I've got to be willing to do that myself. And he was baptized not because he was a sinner that had sin to be forgiven, but he was baptized as a picture of the one who would die and who would take our sin and who would be buried and who would arise again. And as soon as he came up out of the water, the Holy Ghost descended in the form of a dove. The last time we saw that dove, Noah let him out of the ark. Last time we saw that dove, he went out that window of the ark. Flew around and all it was dead and decayed carcasses. And he had to come back. He had to come back. Waited a week and sent him back out again. He flew around and brought an olive leaf. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Brought an olive leaf back and went out again.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Go ahead. Come on. Yeah.
Y'all do know that that olive tree is a picture of Israel, don't you?
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
That old dove was circling around all those hundreds and thousands of years. He never could land anywhere until the Son of God came out of that water. Israel's Messiah was there, and he found a place to land. Do you know why he could land on Jesus? Because Jesus had that lamb nature. If he had been a wolf or a lion or a bear, that dove could not have landed on him. But since he was the Lamb and holy and harmless and undefiled, that Holy Ghost had no problem landing on him. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led out into the wilderness to face his great temptation. Here's my thought now. If the man, Christ Jesus, as a man, had to have the Holy Ghost, what do you think you're going to do without him?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
How you going to face the devil?
Come on.
How you going to deal with your temptation? What you going to do when he leads you out into the wilderness? Most abused member in our church is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And one of the reasons he can't work in our church, our churches, is because there's too much of that lion and too much of that wolf and too much of that bear for him to land. I wish I had amen right there. There's too much of that meanness on us.
Yeah.
That holy dove to land on us.
Yeah.
To ever use us.
Amen.
I had a funeral a few years back, and it's one of those funerals where I think there was five preachers in it. And I preached the message in the auditorium. They had something for the rest of them to do. But at the grave, they gave all of us a dove. I didn't know it, but doves do the same thing as pigeons. They have home in doves. And you turn them loose and they come back. And they gave all of us out there a dove. And the fellow that owned the dove said, "Now, preacher, hold that dove real light in your hands. If you hold him too tight, you'll suffocate him in 12 seconds. Be easy with the dove."
Come on.
Come on now. Have I got to explain everything? Be easy with that dove. You'll suffocate him in 12 seconds. The man, Christ Jesus, could not do what God sent him to do outside of the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Now, how are we going to preach? How are you going to preach? If he couldn't do it, how are you going to do it? How are you going to face your temptation?
It's good, preacher.
We're supposed to be looking unto Jesus. There's that holy dove on the holy Son of God walking through the world that he made, and nobody appreciated him, healing lepers that don't come back and thank him, and Judas is stealing money the whole time and he never says anything about it. All the religious leaders are trying to kill him. He has to dodge rocks all the time. But there's something about Jesus that made him so sweet that when he had sat down, little children wanted to sit in his lap.
Amen.
Quickly. One of the big problems in our world today is home. And the reason home is such a mess is you got a man and a woman that are trying to live together without the Holy Ghost. And your home is a mess. You cannot love your wife as Christ loved the church without the Holy Ghost helping you. You cannot reverence your husband without the Holy Ghost. You cannot obey your parents unless the Holy Ghost helps you. You cannot go to work and do a day's work without the Holy Ghost helping you. And you can't come to church and have church without the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But we've decided to build gyms. Now, if you got one, ain't nothing wrong with it. But we've decided to get strobe lights and smoke and music that's out of hell. And we've tried to imitate everybody on the television. And we've left the only one out that's going to help us have church. Well, let's look to Jesus tonight. Be passionate about His will, and let's be patient. And
Let's know something about the power of God.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Sean.